You know how people say, like, they're more scared of public speaking than, you know, than dying? Well, for aspiring pilots, stall training, I think, might be their public speaking.
Oh, okay.
Something like, what is it, 70 to 80% of student pilots quit before getting their license.
Wow.
And a lot of times stalls are the kind of the culprit.
Right. It's a critical skill to learn, but it can be intimidating for sure.
Yeah, it's a big one to overcome.
Yeah.
So today we are diving into Intro to Stalled Flight, which is it's this program that's really trying to change how we think about stall training.
Okay.
And the thing that really got me interested is they use simulators and visualizations before the pilot even gets in a real airplane.
I see.
It's like, you know, it's like mental rehearsal for, like, you know, a potentially stressful situation.
Uh-huh.
So what's the kind of thinking behind that approach?
Well, it's really about trying to get that understanding before you actually do it. And they've got this framework they use, the learn, do, fly approach. And I think that's really what it's about, is recognizing that there's a difference between knowing how to recover from a stall, like you've memorized the steps, and then understanding what's actually happening with the aircraft.
Like why you're doing those steps, not just, yeah, just the steps.
Yeah, and I think especially when you think about it in terms of like a critical situation in the air, you need to really understand it at a deeper level.
So it's about connecting the kind of the theory to the real world, the practical application. And I can imagine in aviation, that's especially important.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, think about any complex skill you learn, whether it's, you know, playing a musical instrument or anything like that. You don't just, you know, learn about it and then go straight into a concert hall. You practice, you know, hours and hours. And this program is kind of taking that same approach to flying. You can practice these stalls, these things in a safe environment before you actually get up in the air.
Right, so you can build those reactions and those instincts.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like what they call correlation level learning. That's what it
Yes.
makes me think of. Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this learn, do, fly framework. What does that look like in practice?
Well, so the learn phase, I think what's interesting about it is it's not your typical like ground school lecture. It's, you know, you've got interactive quizzes, there are videos that analyze, you know, real life stall accidents. They even go into the history of stalls in aviation. You know, like they talk about the Wright brothers and how they had to deal with stalls and things like that.
Oh, wow, that's going really in depth then to make it
Shit.
engaging.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, okay, here's the procedure, memorize these steps. It's really getting into the context and the history.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, I think it speaks to that bigger picture idea of, you know, we're trying to make you a safer pilot. You know, we're trying to equip you for your whole flying career, not just, you know, your next check ride.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the learn phase. So then what's next? And you got to actually face the skull, right? Is
Yeah.
that the do part?
Exactly. So that's where, you know, they take all that theoretical knowledge that they've given you in the learn phase, and then they start to put it into practice using, you know, simulators and visualization
Okay,
exercises.
so this is where I'm most curious.
Yeah.
This seems kind of counterintuitive to me.
Okay.
You know, practicing like stalling a plane, but you're still on the ground,
Right, right.
even if it is a simulation.
Right. It might seem a little strange at first,
Yeah.
but
Like how's that gonna work?
Well, think of it this way. The simulator is kind of like a, you know, like a laboratory for flight training. You know, you can push the boundaries, you can make mistakes
Safely.
safely, and there are no real-world consequences. So it's a really valuable tool for learning.
So you're removing that fear factor
Exactly.
and letting pilots kind of familiarize themselves with what it feels like,
Yeah.
but, you know, before they're actually, you know, thousands of feet in the air.
Yeah, and it's not just like generic simulations. They have very specific maneuvers and skills that they focus on that are all, you know, designed to help pilots recognize and recover from stalls.
So, like, what kinds of things would they be doing in the simulator?
So one example is they have an exercise focused on what they call sensing yaw.
Sensing yaw. What is
Okay.
that?
So it's basically about developing like a feel for how the plane responds to your control inputs, especially at those, you know, slower speeds where stalls are more likely to happen. So you're essentially training your body to react, you know, almost instinctively to the cues that the aircraft is giving you.
So it's that mind-body connection we were talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they also have them practice stalls in climbing turns.
Okay.
Which might seem counterintuitive, but...
Yeah, a little bit.
It's, you know, they're trying to prepare them for a wider range of real-world scenarios.
Right, because it's not always just going to be, you know, a straight line.
Exact.
Perfect, controlled landing.
Exactly.
Stalls can happen in all sorts of situations.
Right.
So that makes sense. But how do you practice something like that without actually being in the airplane? That's what's throwing me on.
Right. Well, that's the power of simulation and visualization, right? Yeah. So even if you're not, you know, physically experiencing the G-forces or the wind rushing past the cockpit, your brain can still process that information and it can still start to form those connections.
Yeah.
You know, think about athletes who visualize their performance before a big game.
Right.
They're not just like picturing themselves, you know, scoring the winning goal or whatever.
Yeah.
They're mentally rehearsing that whole experience.
Yeah.
The pressure, the crowd noise, you know, even the feel of the ball at their feet.
Right.
So that mental rehearsal is actually, it's creating muscle memory.
Right.
It's helping them perform better when it counts. And it's really the same principle here with stall training.
So even though they're, you know, not physically experiencing the stall in a real plane, their brain and their body are still learning and adapting.
Exactly. It's about creating those neural pathways, right? Those instinctive reactions that can make all the difference.
Yeah.
And the research really backs this up. Like, there have been studies that have shown that pilots who practice in simulators, they perform significantly better.
Wow.
During actual stall recoveries.
Okay, so we've gone through the learn phase.
Mm-hmm.
We understand why stalls happen, how they happen. We spend some time in the do phase, so we're building those, you know, those instinctive reactions.
Yeah.
What happens when they finally get in the cockpit?
Right.
For the fly phase.
That's where it all comes together, right?
Yeah.
So the fly phase, you know, builds directly on what they've already learned, what they've practiced.
Okay.
But now they're actually experiencing it in a real airplane.
Yeah, with real consequences.
Right, exactly.
What I think is interesting about this program is they emphasize looking outside the cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
Like using those visual references, even during a stall.
Right.
That seems a little counterintuitive.
It does.
Wouldn't you want to be looking at your instrument?
You would think so. But, you know, the program really stresses trusting your senses.
Okay.
And connecting with the aircraft beyond just the instrument. So, you know, when a plane stalls, the feel of the plane changes. The sound of the wind changes.
Yeah.
Your visual references, they all change. And they often change faster than the instruments.
Interesting.
Right.
So you're developing this situational awareness
that
goes beyond just what those dials are telling you.
Exactly. In a real stall, your body's often going to give you those cues faster than your instruments.
So it's that gut feeling.
Yes.
That intuitive connection that, you know, experienced pilots always talk about that you develop.
And so one of the exercises they actually have pilots do is during the stall recovery, they'll have them, you know, fix their gaze on a point outside the aircraft,
okay,
like the horizon or even, you know, even the wingtip.
I don't know. That sounds a little nerve-wracking.
It can be.
Like, why not just focus on, you know, getting that plane back to a safe altitude, safe airspeed?
Well, because what they're trying to do is train your brain to resist that urge to fixate on those instruments.
Okay.
Right. And instead develop that feel for the plane's attitude relative to the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, remember when a plane stalls, it doesn't just like fall out of the sky.
Right.
A lot of times it will enter this nose down pitch.
Right.
And your natural instinct might be to pull back on the controls.
Right. Which is the wrong thing to do.
Right. Which can actually make the stall worse.
Yeah.
So by focusing on that external reference point, you're training yourself to override that instinct.
Right. So you can keep that correct pitch attitude to recover.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, training those instinctive reactions. So you're not just reacting, you're working with the aircraft.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it sounds like this fly phase, it's all about bridging that gap between the theoretical and the practical application.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one of the most valuable things about the fly phase is it gives pilots a chance to actually make mistakes.
Right.
And learn from them in a controlled environment. safely,
yeah,
with that instructor right there to guide them and help them understand, okay, well, you know, this is why this worked, this is why this didn't.
Right.
You know, it's those, it's turning those aha moments into lessons.
Yeah, it's one thing to read about it in a book.
Right.
But it's another thing to actually, you know, experience it.
Yeah, and feel it.
And have somebody there who can give you that feedback.
Exactly. And it's not even just the technical skills, right? It's about building confidence.
Right.
Building that comfort in those uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
The training really emphasizes, you know, staying calm, staying relaxed, even during a stall.
Right, because like they say, under pressure, you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the more you can practice that, the more confident, the less intimidated you're going to be when things get a little hairy.
Yeah. So you're right. The more you practice, the better you get at, mm-hmm, you know, kind of controlling those nerves, those reactions.
Exactly. It becomes less about, you know, panicking and more about, okay, I've done this before.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
Right. You have that muscle memory, that training.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like having that mental toolkit.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, for when things get a little bumpy.
I like that. A mental toolkit.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, you know, like preventing those accidents. It's about creating more confident pilots.
Yeah.
Who can really handle, you know, whatever happens.
And who enjoy it more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not, you know, stressed out all the time.
Right. If you're confident and you feel like you can handle it,
yeah,
it's got to be more enjoyable, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, it's interesting, this idea of confidence. It's not just in aviation where that's important.
Right.
Think about public speaking.
Yeah.
Right. Like the more you rehearse, the more comfortable you feel up there on stage.
Exactly. That's a great example.
Or athletes who use visualization.
Yes.
To prepare for competitions, they're mentally rehearsing those really high pressure moments, and it helps them, you know, stay focused.
Yeah, they've been there before, right?
Right.
Even if it's just in their minds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool how this learn to fly approach, it can be applied to so many different areas of life.
Yeah.
It's about really building that foundation of knowledge,
right,
putting it into practice, and then, you know, refining it through that real world experience.
Yeah. It's a cycle.
Right? It is. It's a cycle. And you know, there's a quote from the training manual that I really liked.
Okay.
It says, "We're not teaching you to the test here. We're teaching you for the rest of your flying career."
I love that.
And I think that's really powerful because it speaks to that importance of deep learning. You know, it's not just about, okay, check these boxes, memorize these facts.
Right.
It's about, you know, building those skills and that understanding,
mm-hmm,
that are going to serve you well, you know, throughout your journey, whether you're a pilot or anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're building that foundation that, you know, you can always go back to.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then build on as you gain that experience.
A great way to look at learning, for sure. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
Into this stall training program.
Huh.
And, you know, it makes you think, where else in life can we, you know, can we benefit from this kind of approach?
Right. Where else can we learn, do, and then fly?
Exactly. Exactly. What skills, what knowledge can we be building now that's not just going to get us through that next test,
right,
and next challenge, but really, you know, set us up for the long haul?
Food for thought.
That's something I'll be thinking about. Until next time, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.